Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, first her son saw an apparition in his room late at night. Then she saw it in the bathroom. After talking to her neighbors, she discovered who was haunting her home.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number to share your real ghost stories with us. If you want access to all of our bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and ad-free episodes, check us out on Apple Podcasts, our premium channel there for you to binge away on when you become a premium subscriber. Even try it for 3 days free on Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories. Check that out. Let's go to our first caller at 855-853-4802. Hi. Your turn. Go for it.
Hi. I listened to your show recently, just started, and I love it. And I wanted to call in and give you a little information on something that happened to me in the past. My name is Renee, and years ago, my ex-husband and I and my two kids had just moved into a house in Texas, and seemed like a nice house. It was a older woman who her husband had passed away, and was a lot of work that we needed to do to the house, but we thought, you know, it's going to be a great house for our teenage boys to finish growing up in, graduate from school, yada, yada, yada. And so as time goes on, we're remodeling. We rip up the carpet and throughout the whole house, and we notice at the end of this really long hallway that there's some weird staining on the carpet. And as we pull up the pad and everything, it's red and thick. And I'm like, what the heck is this? And I told my ex-husband, I said, it almost looks like blood. But either way, we get rid of the carpet. Everything's good to go. We're finishing up doing all the remodeling. And everything's good. I always felt like every time I walked down that hallway, for whatever reason, I felt like somebody was watching me. And a few months later, my husband had to go on a business trip. And so I was in bed sleeping, and in the master bedroom, as the foot of the bed faced two openings, and each opening basically walked you into the other side of the room, which was basically the vanity and everything for the bathroom. And then it went into another door that took you into the toilet and the shower. And so one night I was laying in bed and sleeping, and I hear this loud, like, slapping sound, almost sounded like somebody was slapping the counter in the bathroom on the other side of the wall. And it was loud enough where it woke me up. And so I sat up and I looked in that direction. And of course, it's the middle of the night, I couldn't see anything. And my dog at the time was laying on the end of the bed and looking in that direction. So obviously she heard it and she was growling. And I was like, it's okay, it's okay. And I thought, okay, I don't know what that was, but I'm going to lay back down. Well, just a few minutes later, my son comes walking in the room. And at the time, he was 14 and says, Mom, is our house haunted? And I was like, no, of course not. Why would you say that? And he said, because there was a ghost that was just in my room and it woke me up. And I was like, no, no, it's not haunted. And so then he wanted to sleep in the bed with me, and he's 14, and that would be totally uncool, but he wanted to. So needless to say, we get through the night. Next day we wake up, go through our day, and that night go back to sleep, and my husband's still on a business trip, and the same thing happens, and the dog growls, and it's in the middle of the night. I don't know what time it was. Once again, my son comes walking in the room just a few minutes later, says the same thing, that there was a ghost in his room, woke him up. And so we go to sleep. The next day, I get up And I always took the dog for a walk in the morning, and then I'd swim in the pool. And when I got out of the pool, I'd come into the door in our bedroom that faced the pool, and I would go in and take a shower. And so as I was taking a shower and rinsing the soap out of my hair, we had a clear glass door, and I was thinking, I had this feeling like somebody was watching me. And so I opened my eyes, trying to avoid any soap getting in my eyes. And when I look out into the bathroom, there was a man standing there staring at me. And he was an older gentleman and kind of stocky built, and he had a hat on. And of course, I screamed bloody murder, and I grabbed the shower curtain. And as soon as I did that, the image of him just kind of evaporated. And of course, I jumped out of the shower, got dressed as soon as I could, and I was so freaked out. And so a couple of days later, I was outside talking to the neighbor, and I was asking about, you know, had anything ever happened in the house or anything? And she said, well, her husband died in the house. And I said, well, I knew he died. I didn't know he died in the house. And she said, yeah, apparently he shot himself and killed himself in the house. And I was like, oh, okay. A little bit more research and things of that nature. And we started trying to find out more information from some of the other neighbors that knew the wife. And apparently he was standing near the bathroom in the bedroom at the time. And that's where he shot himself. So apparently whatever it was that we had pulled up from the carpet was the residual effects of him killing himself. And when they tried to shampoo the carpet, it just kind of left a stain, but it apparently had soaked through to the padding. Needless to say, probably, I would say about 4 months later, my now, ex-husband and I had decided to get a divorce, and I moved out, and I was very happy to leave that house. That was my ghost story. So I hope you all liked it, and maybe it'll play on the show. Thank you. Bye.
It's a creepy one. And it seems
That's
like it did a lot of damage while they were there.
Well, and then to have that experience and then talk to your neighbors and then they not just confirm it, but like, yeah, the guy died in the house.
Yeah.
At his own hands. And then it's like, oh, wait, that explains what we saw when we pulled the carpet up.
Yeah.
But if you don't know that's what it is, you wouldn't go to, oh, my God, somebody committed suicide here. You would think, there must have been a spill, like it was paint, or I don't know. You would tell yourself anything other than that.
You'd tell yourself anything other than that, yeah. But blood is blood. I mean, paint is paint.
And it would look different.
It does. But it'd be stained in. It'd be part of the wood. It wouldn't be, you know, like paint is paint.
Yeah. But I think you would find some reason to tell yourself what that was. Mm-hmm. It's barbecue sauce, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? That you wouldn't go to, oh my God, that's obviously blood. I don't know. If I saw it at somebody's house, I'd be like, is it blood?
Here's another.
You want to do some DNA testing on that?
Here's a little fun. If anyone's doing a DIY project right now, we've talked about putting like skeletons in, you know, in walls and things of that nature, fake ones. You know, when
You've
people.
You've done that though.
I have. Here's one that, it's pretty funny. Horrible, but pretty funny. If you have a thick sense of humor, that is. Go to the store and get some dark red stain that would look red. It'll dry kind of, you know, purpley reddish. And then take a paintbrush and splatter it around on your subfloor before you put your new carpet or tile down. Preferably, this probably works better with carpet. So splatter that around there. And then paintbrush or something, right? She made me do this, and then have a whole big thing of blood, like right there. and then put your new carpet down. And then
when the carpet layers come in and they see that, go, oh, it's just a joke.
Oh, yeah, that part happened.
Over. Here's $20 tip for you.
That's true. That would be weird because the carpet people would start questioning that. Unless and you're like really tight, like, unless you're just told your carpet people, like, look, I'm doing this as a joke. Because it's some, I would tell my carpet people that and see what happens. It's a good idea. Anyway.
And if you give them a good enough tip, they're going to.
They'll be like, oh, okay, whatever. Sure. Yes. She made you do that. Okay. Yeah. That's how that would. Anyway, if anyone does it, let me know. That sounds pretty fun. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, you want access to all of our bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and more, then be sure to check us out at Apple Podcasts on our premium channel. Even try it for 3 days free. Get access to everything ad-free and in advance and the full archive for you or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.
Normally in these ads, you'd expect someone like me to ask you to buy something. But I want to ask you to do something different. I'm Dave Farenthold, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm an investigative reporter, which means that I follow the money, inside of government and outside of government. The point of my job is to find things people are trying to hide. It involves talking to lots of people. It involves looking through lots and lots of documents. And if there weren't folks like me to go beyond the surface to understand who is really shaping what the government does, the public will be left in the dark about what the government's doing with your tax money, what the government's doing to you through regulations and spending. If you're like me and you think this kind of journalism is important, seek out a news source that does firsthand, fact-based reporting. If that's the New York Times, thank you. If that's your local paper, that's great too, because where you get your information matters.